I invite you now to join me in our prayer of illumination as we prepare to hear scripture this morning, the power of the Holy Spirit, and in one voice, friends, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Again, because we are in our summer story series and we have littles in our midst, today's scripture I'll be reading from the Jesus Storybook Bible. I did ask all of you to read Exodus 20 and 24 in advance of today because there may be some things that you'll miss from the reading of the two stories, but I want to make sure that the story is accessible to everyone. All right? So hear now these words. 10 ways to be perfect. So there they all were. Let's just remind you who they are. They are God's chosen people who have just escaped out of Egypt, made it safely across the Red Sea, and are now wandering in the wilderness. Okay, so let's just remember who they are. Grannies, granddads, babies, uncles, aunts, children, moms, and dads out there in the middle of the desert. They had blisters from all the walking. They were hungry and thirsty and much, much too hot. "We don't like it," they said. "It stinks." And so did they, for that matter, because no one had taken a bath in weeks. Now remember, because this is something they'd forgotten, God had done amazing things for God's people. God hid them inside a cloud. God moved the sea. God set them free. But God's people still weren't happy. They didn't care about being free. Wasn't it better when they were slaves? At least they had lots of nice food to eat. "God doesn't want us to be happy," they said. It was the same lie that Adam and Eve had heard all those years before. "God has brought us out here to kill us. God doesn't love us." But they didn't know God very well, did they? Every day of their journey, God kept on showing God's people how God would look after them if they would trust and obey. When they were hungry, God made the sky rain with food, bread coming down from heaven. "What is it?" they asked each other. They didn't know, so they called it, "What is it?" Which, of course, is a very good name for something when you don't know what it is, but we all know it was called what? Manna. When they were thirsty and started quarreling, God made water flow from a rock. Moses called that place Quarreling, because that seemed like a good name too. And still God's children didn't trust God or do what God said. They thought they could do a better job of looking after themselves and making themselves happy. But God knew there was no such thing as happiness without God. So God led them to a tall mountain. God wanted to talk to the people and show them what God was like. God wanted to help them know better and tell them about the special land they were going to receive. "The whole earth belongs to me," God said. "But I have chosen you, for you are my special family. I want you to live in a way that shows everyone else what I'm like, so they can know me too." God called Moses up the mountain. The great mountain shook, a thick cloud fell, thunder roared, lightning crackled, and God gave Moses 10 rules called commandments. "I want you to love me more than anything else in all the world, and know that I love you too," God told them. "That's the most important of all." God gave them other rules like don't make yourselves pretend gods, don't kill people or steal or lie. The rules showed God's people how to live and how to be close to God and how to be happy. They showed how life worked best. God promises to always look after you, Moses said. Will you love God and keep these rules? We can do it. Yes, we promise. But they were wrong. They couldn't do it. No matter how hard they tried, they could never keep God's rules all the time. God knew they couldn't, and God wanted them to know it too. Only one person could keep all the rules, and many years later, God would send him to stand in their place and be perfect for them, because the rules couldn't save them. Only God could. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for gathering us together to remind us that there are so many ways that you have formed creation, so many ways that you have communicated your love to us. Allow us to hear with fresh ears and open spirits what you would have us hear this day, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, Miss Kathy, for my friend sitting over there, I understand that you guys have Give Me Five. Is that a rules that you have in children's church? Okay, so I know we've done this before, but can you help me? What's rule number one? What is it? Use your ears. Ears are listening. What's two?
Legs are crossed.
Legs are crossed. What else?
Lips are zipped.
What else? Eyes are watching. And
hands are still.
Does that help you guys learn when you're in children's church, those rules? Well, I remember that there was a time when there really weren't rules for the children's church. And Pastor Amy and I, we've talked about this, that, you know, the crowd was so small that it was okay to not have these well-defined expectations, right? But as our children's church grew and the numbers grew, we needed to help the kids get into a place to be able to learn. And so it was the Give Me Five, right? Relying on all five of our senses in order to get them better connected into that space. And I'm pretty sure that that has made them learn more and also help the teachers manage the group. Am I right? In most cases, yes. All right, so that's one set of rules. I wanted to bring it in, but I have this this artwork. It's called the Laundry Rules. Do any of you have like laundry rules or house rules or kitchen rules that say, I'll do laundry rules because it's a little bit more family friendly, but it's check your pockets. Right? Separate your colors. Don't leave your laundry in the washing for a week. Otherwise, guess what? It's going to stink. You're going to have to wash it again with white vinegar to get the smell out. But, you know, there's just this board that's right by the laundry room. Here's the thing. It has been next to or in my laundry room for over 10 years. How many people do you think really pay attention to that anymore? Yes, Ms. Courtney, exactly. Zero, right? Because the thing is, it just becomes part of the decor. It blends into the wall. Nobody really reads it, pays attention to it, right? Am I right? Yes. So I'm thinking about rules, and these seem like silly rules, but then there are other ones or parameters in which we live our lives. For instance, how many of you work during the week, who have a job of employment. Okay, so some of the rules tied to that is, can you just miss every day of work and still be employed? No, meaning you're going to have to show up and do your job, right? During my gap year between pastor's appointments, I worked full-time at Publix grocery store as a customer service staff person. And my shifts would change depending on what the demand or requirement was. But the rule was you got to punch in within 3 minutes of your start shift time, or your tardies would start counting against you. And if you got 4 tardies, you would get an advisement and it would go into your record. If you hit like 8, they're like, look, you've got 2 more between now and the 6 months is over. This is serving as your last warning. You need to get your act together to show up on time. And at 10, guess what? You'd lose your job. Would you like to take a guess how many times this happened during the time I was employed at Publix? I was so close to being afraid of losing my job because I was late. And I'm not talking like 15 minutes late. I would punch in at 4 minutes. Like literally the clock would change and I would hit the 4 and I'm like, are you kidding me? Which made me think, how am I living my life that I can't show up 3 minutes earlier? Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, I could blame it on the traffic. I could blame it on the stoplights. I could blame it on the fact that I couldn't find my shoes on the way out the door. But the reality is, even with the threat of losing my job, it wasn't enough to change my behavior. Does that make sense? I'm much better now than I was before, and I quickly realized that I do not need to work a job that requires me to clock in and clock out every day if my attendance and my time in matters. So I say that to just admit that I have my own flaws, and even I know the rules, but sometimes don't listen to the rules very well. How many of you are one under the mile per hour speed on all the roads that you ever drive? Oh, okay. So how about this rule? As long as I stay 5 over the speed limit, I'll be fine. How many of you are like, you know, it's 70 miles per hour. If I stay at 78 on cruise control, I'm good. Okay, so I say this because I am speaking the reality of where we find ourselves, right? We're like, well, yeah, I know. And then if there's somebody who's actually doing this speed limit, how many of you say, will you speed up, please? You're going too slow. Yes. Yes. Or you get somewhere and you lament the fact that somebody was doing 5 under or 10 under, and you're like, are you kidding me? You know, can I get that broken lung so I can pass? I say this because there are rules and then there are rules, right? On a more serious note, how many of you are driving with a valid, non-expired driver's license? Yes, because if for whatever reason, if we get pulled over and we have an expired license, we're in trouble, right? Okay, how many of you make sure that you file your taxes every year? And if you can't hit the deadline, how many of you are mindful enough to request the extension? Yeah. You know, because we know, hey, there's serious ramifications if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. I'm looking at my littles. How many of you have taken the car out driving recently? I love it. Kelsey, absolutely. You took mom and dad's car out driving? Yes. With a license? Yes. Okay. Do you think you're allowed to go out and drive mom and dad's car right now? Yeah. No, because you're not what? Old enough, right? I'm looking at you, Caroline. You've turned 15, which means do you have your permit yet? Are you allowed to drive the car by yourself? No, you have to have a licensed driver who's been driving for at least 2 years. 5 years, which means that you can't drive and have Jackson in the car with you and just be the 2 of you, right? Right, because that's not within the rules. So why are we tying these everyday things into this story of God, knowing that they had just been led out of slavery in Egypt under the control of Pharaoh into this land, being chosen as God's people? Well, one, were they happy on the other side? How did we start this? Were they happy? No, because what? They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were hot. And they said things are so much better back then, back where we came from. How many of you have heard that? Well, let's just go back to Egypt, because at least then we knew what the parameters were, right? Because the rules were very specific. Get up, go to work, go home, get up, do it again. There was some safety to that, even though their lives were not to the fullness that God had intended. So when they found themselves now wandering in the wilderness, following this guy Moses, they're grumbling about the basic needs. Hungry, thirsty, it's hot, I can't sleep, my feet hurt, are we there yet? And God knew they needed something, right? Because imagine going from very, very parametered, strict rule of life to absolutely nothing. How well do we adjust when all of the rules and boundaries and expectations are taken out? We flounder, don't we? We'll fill those gaps with things that may not be in our best interest or in the best interest of those around us. And so God tells Moses, hey, I see my people. I need you to come meet me up at the mountain, and we're going to have a chat. Okay? As I've been listening to these stories over the past 3 weeks, one of the profound things that I don't know that I ever really paid attention to is how God was manifested in these stories. So when we think about Noah's Ark, we saw God in the wind and the rain and the thunder and the lightning, the sheer power and enormity of that. And God's promise was there to never do that again. When the people were crossing the Red Sea, we saw the mighty power of God because the wind blew in the middle of the night. The cloud concealed them to protect them from the eyesight of Pharaoh. They were led by flames to guide them in the darkness. And the sustaining of the winds for so long to allow all of these people to cross over to the sea, that God's power did that. And then today, when Moses goes up on that mountain to talk to God, we see the power of God once again. The cloud swirls around the mountaintop. We hear thunder. We see lightning. And the thing is, was Moses up there for 30 minutes? No. How long was Moses up on that top mountaintop? Say it louder. 40 days. In biblical terms, that means a really long time, right? And so God gives Moses the law on two stone tablets and carries them down to the people. But in that time of 40 days, that really long time period, guess what? God's people still got it wrong. Because they took all of the gold and they melted it down to form a golden calf because they wanted something to worship. Again, they chose things that were not what God intended of them. And man, Moses, that's like you parents who have kids and you've worked so hard to do something and then they come home and your kids have done something and you're like, are you kidding me? And you just like that's kind of the response that I feel. You've never? Okay. Pastor Amy never has. I know I have. And you want to throw things or drop things or yell at the top of your lungs. Well, I could totally understand why Moses threw those tablets on the ground. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like, I was only gone for a little while and look what you did. So he had to get another copy. And that took a lot longer to get the next set made. But I just think about that, that gap of time when they needed these boundaries and expectations and rules in which to live by. And Moses was the one who was going to deliver this message to them from the mountaintop. And the rules were not intended necessarily to be restrictive. Rather, they were the beginning of forming and knitting this community of wandering people into the family of God. How many of you can recite the Ten Commandments? I know I can't, but the first one is, "Thou shall not have other gods before me." Meaning, you will only have one God, and it's going to be God. Not all these other deities that are in this land. You're going to have the one true God. I am Yahweh. You shall not craft images of the divine, right? Like, literally, God had written this in law, and what did they do while Moses was up on the mountain? They had made a golden calf, right? And for us, we're like, okay, well, golden calf, idols. Well, for us, idols are reality for us. How many of you, first thing you do is pull out your phone and check your social media or email in the morning? Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, what have my friends been up to? And we lose our time because we're scrolling through all of these things. Some, our idols may be money. I'm going to get the next job so I can make more money, right? Or I really, really would like a Michael Kors purse, so I'm going to have to go out and get one. I don't. That's not my idol. My idols are social media, digital games. I know that. But these rules, the first four, is you should not take the Lord's name in vain. You shall keep the Sabbath holy. You shall honor thy mother and father, right? You shall not lie. You shall not steal. You shall not murder. You shall not covet your neighbor's goods. What's the last one? What, Philip? I know, right? Come on, Jeremy, I'm looking at you. Well, I said no murder, right? No murder, no coveting. Thank you. Thou shalt not do false testimony, right? Like, I'm not going to talk garbage about somebody that's not true, right? When we look at this, and this is something that's come out of Bible study, that these rules, these 10 rules, are the focus foundation for God's chosen people. And through Jesus, Jesus reimagines these rules in a new way. Right? Because in the whole trajectory of Jesus' ministry, didn't they challenge Jesus on the rules? You're breaking the Sabbath by picking wheat in the field. How can you eat with tax collectors and sinners? Don't you know you're not allowed to heal on the Sabbath day? Who are you to proclaim the word of God in the temple? Aren't you just a carpenter's son? Jesus is pushing the boundaries of these rules, and when asked which of these commandments is the greater, how does Jesus respond? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you shall love your neighbor as I have loved you. The first four commandments are about our relationship to the divine. Where do we put God in relationship in our life? Am I creating my own idols that are taking me away from my relationship to God? The last six commandments is, how are we going to relate to one another in community? How are we going to have family connections? How are we going to treat one another? Well, ultimately, we are called to love God and love one another. So ultimately, the greatest commandment is this, a commandment of love. And I don't know, friends, that we always do a fantastic job of that. And God doesn't give up on us. God knew as we read scripture that we would not get it right. And thank goodness for Jesus, who helps us in this life, shows us what a life of love for God and love for one another can look like. The call to not only follow God and keep God's commandments, but to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. So the next time you're thinking about pushing that speed limit a couple extra miles per hour, here's what I want you to think about. How are my actions possibly going to impact the driver next to me? If I go a little bit faster or if I go a little bit slower, could I cause harm to that person? Which then pulls us to the John Wesley rules. First, do no harm. Second, do all the good you can. And three, stay in love with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.